Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hello, and welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I am Dori Shafrir.
And I am Kate Spencer.
And we are not experts.
No, but we are two friends who like to talk a lot about serums.
And if you'd like to talk to us about serums, you may call our voicemail at 781-591-0390. You can also text us at that number. And our email is forever35podcast@gmail.com.
And we have many an active Facebook group. If you are into Facebook, you may find us at facebook.groups/forever35.
Nope.
Did I say it wrong?
You said facebook.groups.
You know, it's so strange. I've been doing this podcast with you for 2.5 years, and yet I regularly say this wrong. facebook.com/groups/forever35podcast.
Yes, that is correct. And just a reminder that all the products we mention on the show are always on our website, forever35podcast.com. And you can follow us on Instagram at forever35podcast and on Twitter at forever35pod.
Here we are.
Here we are.
Two people podcasting in a pandemic.
Yep.
I'm hitting a little bit of like a pandemic wall today, I think.
Talk to me.
Well, you know, you just once in a while you hit the pandemic wall.
Yep.
I don't even know what to say. I'm irritable, I'm depressed, I'm grumpy, I'm angry at the world, I'm sad. I am listening to Folklore by Taylor Swift.
Yep, same.
To the point where my kids keep being like, is this Taylor Swift's new album? Lover is better. Listen.
Wow, they do not have an appreciation for 2010s indie rock.
I'm like, listen, y'all, you were born the year of that Bon Iver album. Like, get into this. I quite enjoy that Taylor Swift album. I will say, like, today I was driving and listening to it. I was like, she made a whole album during quarantine. Like, not that, like, I would be one to compare myself to Taylor Swift, but I was just like, what? I guess I could have been, like, I don't know, like, doing an adult coloring book instead of looking at my phone 8 hours a day.
Kate, we produced a daily podcast.
I know. I mean, I have done stuff.
But and we record 3 episodes a week of this show.
This is, it's all true. But, like, what was she, you know, she was like, oh, I have all this time. I'm just going to, like, hum and haw on this piano. I don't know. I was just like, of course you made a freaking album.
Ugh. I mean, Taylor Swift is a classic overachiever. We all know this. This is her brand.
I honor that. Like, totally. I love an overachiever.
So it's not like a shock that she would do this, but also I think it is fruitless to compare ourselves to overachievers.
Okay. That is fair. It's also fruitless to compare myself to Taylor Swift.
Yes, that is also true.
I have not bought a, like, heiress's Rhode Island mansion. So, you know, I truly can't compare, although I do like that song about the heiress's mansion on the new album.
I mean, I think that she is an international pop star. So cut yourself some slack.
Yeah, what am I doing? Anyway, Dory, I'm just in a funk. I'm just like, ugh. Everything is annoying. I'm mad. And also, I hate bathing suits. Where can I find a bathing suit?
I am right there with you. I have bought and returned two bathing suits this season. One from J. Crew and one from Old Navy. And here is my problem with bathing suits. Not to immediately make this all about me, but I need a bathing suit that is specifically made for someone with D cups.
Me too.
So when I get these other bathing suits, I'm like, this is not what I, how I want to look on the beach. Like, this is sort of not, this is
you
not
don't
great.
Want your D's held up by like two little strings from J. Crew.
Literally. So those have been returned, but it's hard to find. Like, J. Crew theoretically makes D and D, like double D bathing suits, but they're always sold out. Like, I couldn't get one this year. I have an old one, but it's like kind of stretched out. Like, I don't love wearing it that much, but I will wear it. But yes, I'm right there with you on the bathing suit issue.
Where do you buy bathing suits, listeners? Do you have, also, are there like great bathing suit companies to support? I feel like I have no idea where a person buys a bathing suit.
So, you know, we all get those Instagram ads for like Somersault.
I've tried them.
And their bathing suits are so cute, but I look at them and I'm like, this will not look good on me.
They didn't work for me. They did not work. And I just ordered some from Land's End.
Oh my God, I was just going to say.
Like,
I almost bought some from Land's End, which is like such a, like, I just feel like I love Land's End, but it felt a little bit like, okay, I give up.
Right, like you fully transitioned into 90s mom.
Transitioned into a middle-aged mom, which I am. But I was like, I wasn't ready for it. But I am really curious about what you bought.
It was like a cute bathing suit in theory. And I saw it on a relative, and she's the one who tipped me off. But it just did not work for me. It didn't hold my boobs up. It was like almost like a t-shirt, like a V-neck t-shirt tankini. And then I bought this other tankini top, and I think I bought it with like some sort of, oh God, they call it, I think they call it like tummy control or something.
Mm.
And I was like, well, I'll just try, whatever, I'll try this. Because I like the feeling of being held in, because I also have, you know, I think double D boobs. And I was like, you know, I like that feeling of like a bathing suit to feel like a nice hug.
Mm-hmm.
But this was like putting on, Dory, it was like if I took a child's stocking and tried to put my body through it. It was so uncomfortable. And I want to be comfortable. Like, I'm not trying to hide the shape of my body. I want to be comfortable when I'm swimming. Like, I'm moving, I'm playing. It was like, it was tight. It was tight. And also felt thick. Like, I would be like swimming in two bathing suits. So look, also, you know, I would love to buy from a company that is size inclusive and maybe a woman identified person owned. I don't know. Like, I would love like a cool bathing suit company to support with bathing suits that fit my specific needs, which is I don't want my boobs to fall out and I have a very long torso.
Let me ask you this. Do you have any bathing suits that you like right now in your possession?
I have one that I got on Amazon a couple years ago. And then, honestly, my favorite bathing suit is like a Speedo that I wear to swim laps.
Because what I did do this year is I bought a couple of long sleeve rash guards because, you know, I also like to be sun protected.
Oh, don't I know it.
And I have started wearing a rash guard over my one piece J. Crew double D bathing suit.
Oh, that's intriguing. You know, I think on top of this, though, and it's not like I'm going on a vacation, but like you also kind of want to look cool. You don't want to look like the middle-aged mom you saw as a kid. You know what I mean? Like you still feel cool even though you are a middle-aged mom and you want to look cool.
I hear you, but I will tell you the last bathing suits that I looked at and came very close to buying were literally like wetsuits, essentially. Like full body, full coverage.
Oh my God.
Bathing suits. Because I bought a couple of those for my son because it's like very annoying to put sunscreen on a baby and like you don't want a baby to get sunburned. So I just bought him like full body coverage bathing suits that have like UV protection. And then I was like, wait, why don't I just buy one of these for me? But guess what? There aren't that many of them. And the one that I found, I was sort of like, I don't know. The reviews seemed a little like sketchy. And then I got distracted and didn't end up buying it. But I'm still considering it because I don't know. I also like I have an aversion to the sun.
Well, you know, I'm on Land's End website right now and they have women's, it says plus size, high waisted, skirted swim leggings, legging pants, cover up UPF 50 sun protection. It's like a skirt with leggings. That's kind of intriguing.
I'm intrigued.
Yeah, I'll send you a link because there are. I have seen people who do wear like full body sun protection swimsuits, which also I'm not against, but it just is such a weird. I don't know, and you want to feel like comfortable, and I don't know. I want to feel good in a bathing suit, like anything, like any other piece of clothing. You want to feel like yourself. You know what I mean? I think that's like the problem with bathing suit shopping is like it's all like this doesn't look like me.
Yeah.
I don't know, Dory. And is a bathing suit self-care? I don't know. Riddle me this.
Here's my other just issue, and I would love to hear how other people deal with this. These rash guards, like a lot of them have no cups or padding. Are you just supposed to wear the rash guard with nothing under it? Like I feel that feels weird. So I've been wearing a bathing suit under a rash guard, but I also feel like that seems like extraneous.
I have wondered this myself. Like you have to, I need something to hold my boobs.
Yes, same. It's a conundrum.
Look, we are lucky that we have access to pools this summer and we can even be grumpy about this, right? Like it's nice to have a pool or go to the beach. I'm doing the thing where I'm trying to find gratitude. I'm doing the thing. I'm trying to find the gratitude. I'm trying to find it.
I appreciate you.
It's not. God help us, Dory. I don't even know anymore. Anyway, Dory, I mean, to me, a bathing suit is like anything where you want it to represent who you are. Clothing is an expression of yourself, right?
Sure. Yes.
And through that, you find care for yourself. So this is the leap I'm making here to qualify bathing suit shopping as a topic for this podcast.
Oh, I think bathing suit shopping falls within the parameters of this podcast.
Okay, thank you. Just making sure. Anyway, so that's what I've been up to. I'm grumpy and I can't find a bathing suit. What is going on in your life besides you wearing full body bathing suits?
Well, aspiring to wear full body bathing suits. Okay. So I'm revising / kind of completely rewriting my book right now. And as part of that, I've been revisiting a period of my life where I was extremely social. And it's very weird. It's like writing about a different person. And it's sort of like throwing this period of my life into sharp relief.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a very strange experience. So on the one hand, I like reflect on everything I was doing back then, and it's like no thanks. Like it sounds completely exhausting. Like I'm like, I went out every night. Like what? How? Like how did I do that? But on the other hand, I feel like I have very little outside stimulation right now. Like I don't go anywhere. I don't see anyone.
Yeah.
Much less like go to parties. Not that I was like going to that many parties before. But still, there's not that much outside stimulation. And the only people I ever really see IRL are people who are like picking up hand-me-down clothes from mm-hmm. Henry. And mm-hmm. we have like, and I feel like sometimes you just like leave them out and the person takes them. But other times I feel like each person is so desperate for human connection that you have this like 10-minute masked conversation.
Yeah.
And that's like the extent.
Yep.
So I don't know. It's been a very weird few days.
This is a very lonely time.
Yeah.
The longing for human connection is real and in person, like real human connection.
Yeah, totally. And I know I could potentially be doing masked outdoor activities, but it also just seems like why? I think we all read that McSweeney's satire parody,
yes.
satire, of like the woman who tells herself that she's being really safe, but actually is like hanging out with a gajillion different people all while passing judgment on other people who are also mm-hmm. out and about like she is. Mm-hmm. And I just like, I don't want to be that person either, you know? So I'm like, well, I guess I'll just stay home.
Well, I think everyone, you know, you should only do what is comfortable for you. And if an outdoor masked hang is not for you, that's a good choice for you. You know, it's
yeah.
good to respect that for yourself.
I guess. I mean, I feel like it could be for me, but then I also am like, I've gone so long without really seeing people that even just like the thought of the effort I would have to make to set up a masked outdoor hangout just seems overwhelming.
I get it. It's weird. And I wonder what the long-term impact this is going to have on, or maybe it'll have no impact. Maybe this will end and we'll just be like, oh, back to normal. But it's interesting to kind of I have a hard time now like communicating with people when I'm out.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like I tried to pay for something today at a shipping store and I was like, what's a dollar? I just was so confused. And it's strange how, I don't know, we're just not used to certain things that were a part of our lives.
It's very, very, very weird. So that's just everything I've been mulling over lately.
Well, it's interesting too, contrasting it as you reflect on your mm-hmm. younger self.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's
your
very
party
weird.
Animal self.
My party animal self. Oh gosh. Yeah, I don't know. So it's just a strange time.
It is. It is really, really strange. There's like no other way to describe it. It's freaking weird.
It's freaking weird. So before we take a break, I just want to mention one other thing that will mean nothing to the vast majority of people who listen to this podcast, but for the select few of you who play Mahjong, I just need to brag about this hand that I played the other night. Because I feel like I will never top it, and I need some validation about it. It was a closed, jokerless, self-picked hand for 140 points. Could not believe I pulled it off.
That's like what you drew? You just got everything up top?
No, I mean, I got it in the round after the Charleston.
Okay. Well, I'm excited for you. That Thank must have you. Felt great.
It did. It felt really good. But I was also like, oh, I'll never top this.
You'll top it.
I don't know. But it did make me think, you know what? If nothing else, at least I learned how to play Mahjong during the pandemic.
There's your folklore. That is your folklore, Dory.
Oh my God, that is my folklore. Wow.
Taylor Swift folklore, Dory Shafrir Mahjong.
It's a lifelong skill.
Yeah, you know? It is.
Some and people you can play tennis. Some people play golf. I will play Mahjong. And my mom is actually mailing me my Aunt Rose's old Mahjong set.
Oh, for the that's day so sweet.
When we can finally play IRL.
That's really special.
It is. My mom has my grandmother's set, and she refused to give it to me. She does not play.
She doesn't play, but she won't hand it over.
She won't hand it over. She's like, I think Aunt Rose has one. And then she went over. She like, poor Aunt Rose, who's like in her 90s, living in assisted living, made her bring this Mahjong set downstairs. And she went 1 week. She visits her like a couple times a week. She went once and she was like, Aunt Rose forgot it. So I'll have to get it next time. And I was like, it's okay. Like, it's not like I'm going to be playing IRL anytime soon, but I appreciate the effort. Anyway,
that's still very special. I'm glad you're getting your own.
It is special. I'm very pleased. Apparently Aunt Rose and my grandmother didn't even play Mahjong. Aunt Rose's husband was going to sell sets, and so he got a couple of samples.
Oh, that's fascinating. I can't wait to see what it looks like.
I'll send you the picture, the very very poorly focused picture that my mom sent me.
You don't say.
Such a boomer photo. Anyway, okay. Let's take a break. And when we come back, great. We're talking to Tara Schuster, who is a fascinating human.
Yeah, the author of a self-help guide / memoir called Buy Yourself the Fucking Lilies. And truly, now, whenever I see flowers, I buy them.
Oh, that's so nice. Well, all right. Thank you, Tara. We'll be right back. I am the first to admit that gift giving is not easy for everyone. It's taken me a long time to become like a halfway decent gift giver. But what I have learned is that the best way to win the gift giving game is to gift memories.
Ooh.
Yes. And you know how you do that, Kate?
I'm ready. I'm listening.
The Aura digital frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
We when have gifted you, this to yes. many people.
And when you gift this, your family will love looking back on childhood memories and seeing what you're up to today. Even better, with unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, you can keep updating the frame with new photos. So it's really the gift that keeps on giving. It's super easy to set up. It takes literally 2 minutes. You download the app, you set up the Wi-Fi.
Boom.
You're good to go.
Yep.
We have given this to my parents. We've given this to Matt's parents.
Same.
It's so easy because you can add photos from the app like anytime you want. And also, like, my brother has the app, so he can add photos from his family. My sister has the app, so she can add photos. My parents also have it, so they also add their own photos.
That is one of the coolest parts, I think, of the Aura Frame, is that everybody can contribute.
Yes.
I love that about we have two Aura frames in our house. I have Ooh. One in my office and one in our family room. And do my they kids
have,
love it.
Do they have the same pictures on them?
No, they have different pictures.
Oh, that's interesting. Maybe I should get one from my office.
I'm looking at a picture of my children right now.
Right. Interesting. Putting that away for later.
Store that.
Yes. The Aura app lets you share photos more securely than with email, which is what many other digital frames require. And also, then you're not taking up your email storage. So, win-win. And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Forever 35 listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's auraframes.com. Use code FOREVER35 at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. I like to care for my skin, duh. And it's also something that I do love to kind of like get into the research on.
You do have a curious mind.
Look, I have a curious mind. I can't help it.
You do.
But today's sponsor, OneSkin, has made that easy because they do their own fantastic research for their products. In fact, their products are scientifically validated to improve your skin's health while targeting the root cause of aging. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin, and they've got several studies to back it up. They also have an amazing new sunscreen.
Ooh, our favorite.
Our fave, it's the OS1 Shield Protect and Repair SPF 30+. It's got the peptide. It's a mineral sunscreen. It's got antioxidants. It comes in tinted and untinted. I mean, like, what can't this thing do? I'm just saying. I love it. It's so easy to use, and I love that it's just like, zoop, and it feels so nice going on. But don't take my word. Don't take my word for it. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews and was recently recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands of 2024. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code FOREVER at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code FOREVER. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support your show and tell them we sent you.
You know, one thing I think is really kind of interesting about skin, my skin, but all skin, is that like what it needs now in my 40s is not what I needed in my 30s.
Totally.
Definitely not what I needed in my 20s. But like, how are you supposed to know what your skin needs?
It's hard. It's hard to know.
Especially when there's just like so many products out there. The overwhelm is real. It's a struggle to even know how to get the results you want, what products to start with. This is why we're super excited to partner with Apostrophe. Apostrophe is a prescription skincare company that offers science-backed medications that are clinically proven to help. I have used Apostrophe. I love it. They will pair you with a board-certified dermatologist who literally creates a personalized treatment plan for your skin. I have done this a few times now. It is so easy to do their online consultation. You upload photos. And like within a few weeks, I had done the consultation and received my treatment plan and my product.
Amazing.
And that is how I became a tretinoin gal. I love the tretinoin that they sent me. I love their sunscreen. Both products have been amazing on my skin. And you, Forever 35 listeners, can get a special deal from Apostrophe. You can get your first visit for only $5. That's at apostrophe.com/forever35 when you use our code forever35. Now that is a savings of $15. I like that. This code is only available to Forever 35 listeners. So to get started, just go to apostrophe.com/forever35 and click get started. And then use our code forever35 at sign up and you will get your first visit for only $5. Thank you, Apostrophe, for sponsoring this episode. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. Now, look, both Dory and I love our Quince items.
You might even call us Quince heads.
You might. I would say you should. In fact, if you don't address us as such, we might get upset. In all seriousness, I have a variety of clothing from Quince. Everything from a beautiful cashmere sweater to a very simple, easy white tee to this gorgeous pink summer dress. You can really like get your whole wardrobe filled with quality pieces at really reasonable prices. You can get organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops. They even have timeless 14 karat gold jewelry, which I want. Just going to announce that here. I'm coming for that jewelry.
You're putting it out there.
I'm putting it out there.
The best part is that all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middle people and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, which we love. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/forever35 for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/forever35 to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/forever35. Our guest today is Tara Schuster. Tara, welcome to Forever 35. We're so thrilled you're here.
Thank you for having me.
I mean, the pleasure is ours. Tara is an author, playwright, and accomplished entertainment executive, most recently serving as vice president of talent and development at Comedy Central. She was the executive in charge of Lights Out with David Spade, the executive in charge of the Emmy and Peabody award-winning Key and Peele, the Emmy award-winning At Midnight, and numerous other shows, including Another Period, Detroiters, and Hood Adjacent. And her plays have been performed in the New York International Fringe Festival, and her writing has appeared in The New Yorker and Forbes Online. And Tara's first book, Buy Yourself the Fucking Lilies and Other Rituals to Fix Your Life from Someone Who Has Been There, has been chosen by People Magazine for New Nonfiction, received a starred review in Publishers Weekly, and has been covered by Forbes, The Hollywood Reporter, Newsweek, and Parade Magazine, among others. And if you cannot tell from the title, this is a book all about self-love and self-care, which means you are right up our alley. You are speaking our language.
I was like nodding my head. I'm like, yes, yes, yes.
And I should say it's about self-love and self-care from a person who has had to find it themselves. So if we could start at the beginning, you know, you're a TV executive who then wrote this book. What was your experience? I mean, look, I'm loath to use the word journey, but I'm going to go there. What was your journey of kind of hitting rock bottom, as you say, and learning to parent yourself, and then learning to get to a place of true self-love?
Yeah. You know, first off, I love your podcast because this is my number one favorite topic is to think about self-care, because I honestly think that the answer of how we heal a lot of our communities and how we come together is, oh, you have to like yourself first. You have to like be okay with you, and then we can, and then it sort of has a ripple effect. So I'm just so excited to be here.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
We're happy to have you.
Thank you. But yeah, I did not set out to write a self-care book. If you had told me 10 years ago that I was going to write a memoir of reparenting myself, I'd say, you can go fuck yourself. I don't think that's going to happen. Like that wasn't the plan. But basically, I grew up in a neglected house where things came to die. The plants, the pets, the house was always in disarray. My parents were never around. And I just never learned how to take care of myself. And so by the time I was in my early 20s, I was just this mess, wreck, disaster of a person. You know, on a good day, you'd find me openly weeping on the subway in New York. And it'd be a good day because it meant I made it through my day at work to cry on the subway as opposed to in my cubicle. And I was self-medicating with weed. You know, I thought, let me just blunt all of my feelings, or let me just pour some Pinot Noir into my depression. And I might have just gone on that way had it not been for one particularly bad night. My 25th birthday, I drunk dialed my therapist, completely forgot that I did that on the night of my birthday, woke up the next morning with all these alarmed voicemails from her, like she was trying to find me. And it turned out I had threatened to hurt myself. And hearing the worry in her voice, this, you know, she was a really perma-calm European woman who always was drinking tea. Hearing her worried about me made me really worried about me. And I kind of realized if I didn't learn how to take care of myself, no one was going to teach me. No parent was going to come and rescue me. And I was worried I wouldn't survive. So that next morning, I decided it was time to stop saying I shouldn't feel this way, because that was a big thing. I thought, well, I didn't have the worst childhood of all time. You know, it was pretty shitty. And, you know, I can kind of sense that it wasn't normal, but it wasn't the worst. So for many years, I had used that as an excuse for not dealing with that childhood. Like, I should feel better. That morning, I just said, fuck it. I don't feel better. I don't feel good. I feel miserable. And I have to find a way forward. But what is that way forward? Like, what are values? What are principles? What are vegetables? Like, what is anything? Like, how the fuck am I going to do this? I don't even know how to use a vacuum cleaner. Like, how am I going to fix my life? And so I just, in a pretty urgent, desperate quest, began to Google and ask for advice from my the parents of my friends, or really any adult I could find. I read memoirs as self-help, and I kept this all in a Google document because I had always been really good at school. So I was like, okay, what if I made this a curriculum of reparenting myself? Like, what if I took notes? And I did that for 5 years, really intentionally doing it every day. And at the end of 5 years, I felt like a completely different person. I felt stable and calm and like I knew how to take care of myself. And that's when I realized I had a story to share, because I could kind of feel that a lot of other people, even if they had parents who nurtured the shit out of them, still had these big holes in, like, how do you actually take care of yourself in a meaningful way, not in a let's go to Tulum kind of way. Like, Tulum is awesome. Cool. Great. Go on vacation. No problem with that. But how on the daily do you build the habits that make you feel nurtured, make you feel like you're enough, and ultimately teach you how to love yourself? I hope that wasn't too much of a ramble, but that's where the book came from. And that's sort of the journey, as it were, from hitting rock bottom to writing what would become the book.
Wow. No, was not a ramble at all. It's fascinating. And I just, the idea of having to reparent oneself, that's not something I've had to experience, but I think it's something many listeners will connect with. And it's very hard to learn how to do that. Do you have thoughts, or for someone who is hearing you say this and is like, oh yes, I need to do the work of a parent for myself, what is one bit of advice that you tell people who also relate to that?
Well, the first thing I would say is put a hand on your heart and say, it's okay, sweetheart. I would say if you're feeling like you need to reparent yourself, the very first thing is, oh my God, you're a badass for realizing that. Like, put a hand on your heart, give yourself a hug. That's amazing, because that's like the first step, is just being gentle. You know, I think like I had really learned to be neglectful of myself. Like, I had learned to be abusive of myself, be neglective of myself. So the first step is to just pause and say, like, wow, good job, me. I can take this on. And I think the next is to sort of ask, where do I need healing? Like, where are the places where I need help, where I need nurturing? And for me, how I kind of discovered that was through journaling. And it was definitely a process, but every morning I would do 3 pages of handwritten, just word vomit thoughts, you know, exploring all of my anxieties and kind of getting them out on the page. And from there, I was able to start working on little things. And I'd say, pick anything. I think we get really hung up, like, you hear like reparent, and that seems really hard and like a really big concept. And oh my God, I'm never going to be able to do that whole project. So I always say, like, start really small. Like, there are really simple things like, would you like to know more about, you know, nutrition? Well, then maybe a book on, like I read Food Rules by Michael Pollan. Like, what are like small little things you can work on? So I'd say number one is, for the love of God, be gentle on yourself and recognize that it's amazing that you even know that you need to be reparented. And then two, start really small. And it really doesn't even matter what you start with. Like, start with the first thing you think of, because the key is to get started, to not worry about the outcome, not worry about how is this all going to look in the end. Just start taking care of yourself.
Can you talk a little bit about your career path, how you kind of put the stuff that you talk in your book into practice in your professional life?
Yeah. I mean, it was funny. So I was really, really good at work and really, really bad at life. And I think that was because, having grown up in a neglectful house, I was searching for like adults to validate me. So I was always a really good student. I always poured myself into studies and getting A's and external validation. And so, you know, just as I was kind of talking about self-care and reparenting, I think starts with the smallest steps. That's always how I approached things at work. You know, I kind of got my first break by cleaning the coffee machine at the Daily Show better than it had ever been cleaned. You know, like literally, like I was an intern at the Daily Show, and I saw that all the other interns were like doing bits and trying to be funny to like get discovered or something weird. And I was like, okay, the adults definitely don't like any of this. How can I stand out? What could be my contribution? And I noticed that the coffee machine that Jon Stewart used between rehearsal and taping was often like out of water or dirty or had an ominous red light blinking. And I just realized, oh my God, if I can make that coffee machine my bitch, I can make a name for myself here. So every day I was just crazy about making sure that thing was in perfect working order. And sure enough, the producers of the show, when it came to recommending interns to get real jobs at Comedy Central, they hooked me up and got me my first job at Comedy Central. So I've always operated that way, which is I look for the opportunity that is small, that is manageable, and that usually nobody else wants to do. Because there was no competition for that coffee machine. Like, that was an open lane. And I did a really good job. Instead of worrying about, oh, how am I going to get a big job at the Daily Show? I just did the first little thing. And I've done that all through my development career, is just, where can I add value? What here needs to be done that I can do without worrying too much about, again, like the outcome? Like, oh, am I going to be VP? Am I going to be SVP? I don't really worry about titles and that kind of thing. I try not to worry at all. I try to do the work of a small thing that I see in front of me. And that, I have found, has gotten me a lot closer to my goals a lot quicker than, you know, worrying and trying to plot out some elaborate scheme.
So instead of like a 5-year plan and a 10-year plan, you really focus on like the small tasks in front of you.
Yeah. I've been saying recently, like, I'm just not a big picture person. I think that's great that there are some people who can do that. You know, when I was graduating college, basically every commencement address was follow your bliss and, you know, find your passion and you'll never work a day in your life. And I was like, cool, cool, cool. I just did a year of puppetry. Should I follow that bliss? Like, are you going to pay my student loans? Because if so, I'll do it. But I hated it because, you know, I wasn't in a position to follow my bliss. Like, I had bills to pay. And also, I didn't have one singular bliss. So I felt like that was too much pressure. So yeah, my whole thing is sort of, what is at hand? What needs to be done? And as long as you're going in the right direction, that is important. You know, a lot of writers ask me, you know, should I be a barista while I work on my screenplay? And for me, I always say that might be difficult because you're not even working in the industry that you want to be in. You know, like maybe it would be better to have some kind of job within entertainment because at least you're in the right direction. So I'd say it's the task at hand and at least being in the right direction of where you want to go. But yeah, I never look at the big picture. I'm never thinking about like the big goal. I don't know if that's sad or what, but it's gotten me pretty far, not worrying too much about how it's all going to work out in the end.
Yeah, I'm the same way. And I've lately been sort of wrestling with the question of, well, is this just a function of my like unexamined privilege that I have this conviction that like everything will be fine?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
That's interesting.
I mean, where have you landed on that, Dory?
Yeah.
I'm still wrestling with it. I'm asking Tara what she thinks.
Well, you know, for me, I guess I'd say probably not, because in my case, I didn't have the luxury of thinking about the big picture. Like I had to get the fuck out of LA and like I had to get away from my parents. And if I had gotten too caught up in the big picture, I think it would have just overwhelmed me. Like so it's more of a like defense mechanism and a problem solving than I think of my privilege, though perhaps my privilege is blinding me. But I think that is my take on it.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're in a moment where everyone is examining, or everyone should be examining their privilege, yeah. Right? And I have been trying to do that on, you know, for myself and for my professional life. And when you were saying that, it made me think about some of the things that I've been thinking about lately. So I just was curious where you landed on that.
Yeah. I mean, I think obviously in my case, I have a lot of privilege and I definitely talk about that in the book. You know, my parents, their finances were, it was like a boom and bust economy. You know, sometimes we were broke and I was witnessing like car repossessions and the house was foreclosed on and all those things. But, you know, and another year we'd be on vacation in Hawaii and I went to private schools and an Ivy League college. My dad went into lots of credit card debt to make that happen, but he still was able to make it happen. So there's definitely a privilege underlying it all. But I think just in terms of the big picture, for me, I think it's more of a way to deal with not wanting to feel overwhelmed than anything else.
Yeah, I mean, the big picture is overwhelming. I think that's also part of why I like it. It also, for me, I think it was not so much fear of rejection, but it's like when you think about the big picture, that kind of implies that you're setting up these really big goals for yourself, right? And so what happens if you don't get them? If you kind of say to yourself, well, I'm just kind of taking things as they come, then you don't have to worry about not reaching the goals that you've set out for yourself.
And what I would say is I think that's such a good point. And I think like the kind of slight difference with my not looking at the big picture is I'm fucking intent on the small picture. Like nothing is going to get in the way of me like accomplishing whatever that small goal is. So there's like an urgency to it. Mm. You know, for example, writing the book, if I had thought about, oh my God, I need to write 90,000 words, that feels really big. But every morning I woke up before work and I would just work on one essay at a time. Like, all of my commitment goes into this one essay. I'm going to fucking nail this. I'm going to give, every time I sat at my desk, it was, I'm going to give this everything I've got. But I was giving it to that essay as opposed to the whole book. You know, so I think it's going to come, like, it's not like, I'm not really that much of a free spirit. Like, I'm not like such a go with the flow kind of person. it's just really that I fully commit to whatever small step I want to take next and don't worry too much about all of the outcomes, because those aren't necessarily things I can even control. You know, like I couldn't control if anybody would choose to buy the book or not. But I knew I was going to write it. I didn't give a fuck. It was going to get done. At Comedy Central, there have been shows that I've worked on where I couldn't control if, you know, the president wants to pick it up to series or not, but I'm going to give it everything I've got and make the case for it and make it the best I can. So I guess maybe it's just less of a focus on outcomes that I can't control and a urgency to work on the step that's right in front of me and give it all that I've got.
I mean, that seems healthy.
Honestly. I hope so.
Well,
letting go of the things you can't control is really hard.
Yeah. And there was a quote in an interview that I read with you that you said you can't change your life overnight, but you can change one detail, like what time you go to bed, which has huge ramifications for the rest of your life. And that to me is kind of along the same lines of like when we take note of where we are in life, it can feel overwhelming, like all the millions of piles of messes in our own lives, both emotionally and also physical. You know what I mean? But you can change one thing or focus on one thing in front of you and do it well. And that can actually make a massive impact, not only in your life, but in someone else's life as well.
Absolutely. And I think that is the key to self-care, actually. We tend to think of our lives, or I used to think of my life as the big moments, you know, when am I going to get married and this big job promotion or, you know, big celebrations, but really your life is happening every single day in a series of mundane details. And that makes up your lived experience much more than those big moments. So when you start to tweak small habits, like something as simple as what time you're going to bed or what time you're waking up, you can change everything. Like you end up having so much more control over your mood, how reactive you are to things, how content you are, how grateful you are, all these small little knobs that you can kind of tweak and control. Whereas I think we've learned with COVID-19, there's so much we can't control. Like we thought we could. We thought we could make all these plans in the future, and we really can't. But the very little things, you really can make a big difference in your own life.
What are some of the things that you have done that have made a big difference in your life?
Oh my God. So there are so many, but I think the biggest probably, my commitment to journaling. You know, I've been journaling for 10 years now, and it's, I call it DMing with your soul. It's sort of like the best way I know how to get to how I really feel. Like what do I actually think? Not what do other people expect of me, or how am I disappointing somebody else, or any other weird narrative I want to spin. It tells me like what I actually am thinking about. That one has been a big tweak. A commitment to waking up earlier. I was not a morning person at all for most of my life, and in fact thought that was lame and just something I wasn't going to do. But just the act of getting up earlier, I'm so much more productive in the morning, and I can be really creative. And also it's time where nobody's calling me, where I get to be alone. That has been really important. And then I'd put right up there is my commitment to having a gratitude practice. A friend suggested I try to write a list of 10 things I was grateful for every day, sort of right at the beginning of my reparenting journey. And I'll never forget it. I was at this friend's like vacation house in Maine, and her cousin was going on about gratitude lists and positive psychology. And I was just kind of like, fuck you, dude. Like, you have, like, you are a ballerina turned doctor turned, you could be a lawyer if you want, like, in a compound in Maine. Like, you have so much to be grateful for about. Like, what do I have to be grateful for? And so to sort of like spite her and show her that she was privileged and didn't understand what the fuck she was talking about, I started a gratitude list. And it started really simple. You know, what am I grateful for? Coffee, water, the ability to breathe. And then I'm like, oh my God, coffee, water, the ability to breathe. I get to breathe. I'm alive. That is something to be grateful for. Have I been taking this for granted? And it was really like a mind-blowing experience because I had never been taught gratitude. That was not a part of my life. That was not a part of my upbringing. And I can tell you, probably of all the things that I've implemented, finding things in my life to be grateful for has probably changed my attitude and my ability to be non-reactive, to pause in a situation and not let myself get swept up in emotions and not let myself feel too much self-pity. My gratitude has become one of my most resilient building strengths. So yeah, those are a few of the things that that I've definitely taken on, the small habits that have made a really big difference.
You also make your bed every day, which that changed my life. And I did not start doing that until I was like well into my 30s. I'm almost 41 now. But
it's
crazy,
right? Like crazy how much that makes a difference.
Every day I love seeing like the rest of my bedroom. I'm currently sitting in it now. It's a mess, but the bed is made and that feels like something.
Yeah, that was a huge deal for me and is usually one of the first things I ask people is like, do you make your bed? If the answer is no, why do you want to make yourself crazy? Like making your bed will make anyone who tries it. I've never met somebody who made their bed and regretted making their bed. You know, it can really change things. Same thing with exercise, like even finding anything to sweat 20 minutes a day, it's wild the difference that it can make in your life. The bed making, that one is huge.
I used to make my bed every day and I have to say in quarantine, that habit has fallen by the wayside. So you're inspiring me to get back on the making my bed train. Thank you.
Yeah, quarantine's weird. You know, I mean, this is a weird time. I'd also say if some habits have fallen away, it's A-okay.
Making your bed can also feel like the most monumentous amount of work. Like every morning I dread doing it. It's like feels like it's going to just be so miserable and then it's over. But I get why you wouldn't. It's a pain in the ass.
To be clear, my made bed is not like so fancy looking. Like it's like it is. I am literally all I am doing is throwing the duvet upwards and then putting the pillows in a pile. Like it doesn't look like a hotel, but it just doesn't look like a crazy sweaty mess because I'm also like such a sweaty sleeper. If I didn't, it would look strange, like just like a puddle and like a goop of a bed. So I just throw the duvet up. It's not like anything to write home about, but it does make a difference.
No, it totally does because that was essentially how I made my bed. It wasn't like I was not making the hotel bed either.
Yeah, I've never done that.
Be clear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how to do that.
Ours is also just kind of a rumpled gentle mess, but at least the duvet is up to the pillows. Like it's not, again, also not a hotel bed, but you know, shout out to the people with hotel beds, you know,
shout
I don't
out
know
to
how,
them.
I don't know yeah. how you do it, but you do it.
I know. I think I read once something about how you could iron your sheets.
Oh,
and I was like, wait, what? What's going on? What are people doing? What? And then they're like, oh, you starchy pillows. I'm like, wait, what? Huh? Wait, how? Why? Why would you do that? So no hotel beds for me. Although shout out, yeah, total shout out to those who can do it. That's dope as hell. If that's what you're doing. Very jealous.
I have a random Hollywood question for you. What is
a TV show
that you wish existed? Maybe something that you wanted to greenlight that you couldn't get greenlight, or something that you just wish, was out there in the world.
I wish that there were more stories about people who are really trying and are optimistic about life. You know, like my favorite show, for example, is Fleabag. But, you know, it's she can't get out of her own way. I would like to see more stories of people who are succeeding at taking care of themselves and their communities. And maybe even around younger women who are like trying. I mean, this is probably a very self-serving answer because like these are things I'm thinking about. Like if I made a TV show, what would it be?
Yeah, but I asked you. That's why.
That's true. That's also true. Yeah, like young women, like girls who are learn how to take care of themselves and are courageous and smart and aren't always talking about having a boyfriend. I'd like to see more stories like that.
Yeah, same.
You know, I think that would go a long way towards even showing that that is possible. Because when I was growing up, there just weren't that many examples of characters on TV that were hopeful and optimistic and doing it for themselves. I mean, it was mostly like 90210 was something I watched. Like that's definitely, there are some super problematic messages about, I think all I cared about in that show was Luke Perry. Although, I mean, Luke Perry was amazing. But yeah, more stories around young women, I think I'd love to see.
Great. Same. That seems like a good note for us to end on, actually. So let's get those shows about young women made. I mean, you will be able to make them when you run Hollywood. So I look forward to this.
Yeah,
you sincerely. I sincerely do. And yeah, it was so great to talk to you.
Yeah, it was amazing talking to you guys. And, you know, I just am such a fan of the show. And thank you for showing that these things are possible, that it's possible to take care of yourself and it's even fun and enjoyable to be curious about how to do all of this.
Well, thank you.
Oh, likewise.
Yeah.
Tara, where can people find you if they're interested in following you on social media, buying your book, et cetera?
Yeah, you can buy the book anywhere that books are sold. And I'm on Instagram way too often, which is Tara Schuster, at Tara Schuster on Instagram. Like, yeah, and you could just talk to me there because I really like talking to readers and anybody who's interested in self-care. And then I have a weekly newsletter where I discuss one not so cheesy, you'll throw up in your mouth self-care tip every week. And you can subscribe to that at taraschuster.com.
Awesome.
Done and
done.
Thanks
again.
Thank you. So nice talking to you.
Kate, you know, I've been getting into like the spring cleaning vibe.
Yeah, you have really been kind of doing a refresh, if you will.
I've been trying, but I gotta say, it's a lot more fun when you also get to do a little space refresh.
Mm.
So I'm talking like moving furniture around, maybe get a new piece here or there, swap out the blankets. Like I'm almost ready for my cotton blanket instead of my wool blanket.
Yes, the seasons are changing and so is your home.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And with Jenny Kane's Elevated Home Essentials, I can get exactly what I need to create the kind of place I frankly never want to leave. Jenny Kane Home is a California brand through and through, and their interior pieces are instant classics.
From their candle scents, I don't have to tell you how much I love the musk candle. And Kate, of course, is partial to the Montecito candle.
Always and forever.
Yeah. To their iconic furniture and the coziest pillows, think clean, effortless, and totally refined. Jenny Kane Home is all about the art of simplicity. They focus on comfort, quality, and timeless design so you can curate a space that never goes out of style and always feels fresh as spring. Find the perfect way to refresh your space at jennykane.com. Our listeners get 15% off your first order when you use code F35 at checkout. That's 15% off your first order, JennyKayne.com, promo code F35. I like to care for my skin, duh. And it's also something that I do love to kind of like get into the research on.
You do have a curious mind.
Look, I have a curious mind. I can't help it.
You do.
But today's sponsor, OneSkin, has made that easy because they do their own fantastic research for their products. In fact, their products are scientifically validated to improve your skin's health while targeting the root cause of aging. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin, and they've got several studies to back it up. They also have an amazing new sunscreen.
Ooh, our favorite.
Our fave. It's the OS1 Shield Protect and Repair SPF 30 Plus. It's got the peptide. It's a mineral sunscreen. It's got antioxidants. It comes in tinted and untinted. I mean, like, what can't this thing do? I'm just saying. I love it. It's so easy to use, and I love that it's just like, and it feels so nice going on. But don't take my word. Don't take my word for it. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews and was recently recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands of 2024. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code FOREVER at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code FOREVER. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support your show and tell them we sent you. I'm going to buy myself some fucking lilies.
That title of her book makes me laugh so hard because you read it and you, for me at least, I knew exactly what it was about just by reading that one line. Did you feel
totally
that way?
Like yes. Oh,
I get exactly what you are going to tell me, and I'm here for it.
Yes.
She was so cool to talk to. We really loved
getting to chat. She was fascinating. She's had like a fascinating life.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's get into the intention zone.
Oh boy. Okay.
Have you doubled down on sleep hygiene?
Actually, I've been really good about it. Yeah.
Amazing.
I've been really so much better about it and making
myself
read at night, which has been great. And I've been taking my melatonin and I've been plugging my phone in away from my bed. I've been really trying and I feel better, you know?
That's so feel better. Great.
I did it.
I'm genuinely very happy for you.
Oh, thank you. That's so nice. Thank you, Dory. Well, you know, I'm trying. I like how I feel when I get sleep. So,
yes, it's so wild how it makes such a difference.
Oh my
God. But it
God.
Truly does.
Yes. Yes, it does. And I slept till like 8 a.m. the other morning on a weekend, which was like I had gone to bed at like 11. So it was like a good 9 hour.
Ooh,
it was great. Felt great.
Love that.
Anyway,
this
week.
What do you have
going
on this week? Yeah. Talk to me about this week.
Oh my God, Dory. I have not put my clean laundry away in like weeks. It's just in a laundry basket that I keep piling more laundry on top of.
Uh-huh.
And then like at least once a week, I pick up the basket, I put it on my bed and I'm like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to put this all away. And then I don't. And then like at night rolls around and I'm like, I'm tired. And then I just put
the laundry back in the basket and put the basket back on the floor.
Oh my God.
So right now it's on my bed, literally right behind me. There is nothing I hate more than fucking putting laundry away. I hate it. I hate it. I hate
it's
it.
So
I don't,
interesting.
I hate it's it.
Because like there are definitely household tasks that I hate, mostly like doing dishes. Laundry, I don't hate as much for some reason. I
so
don't
like
know.
You folded the laundry and then you just put it away?
Yeah.
I don't even understand what that's like. I mean, this laundry has been sitting here probably for 2 to 3 weeks.
Wow. Wait, have you not run out of things to wear?
No, I dig through the basket and I find the thing I need.
I see.
The basket
I see.
It's a closet and a set of drawers all in one. But it's just a laundry basket.
I gotcha. Okay.
But it's like getting to the point where like I have to put it away. It's really bad.
Right. Like enough already.
Oh, I hate it, but like I don't want to do it. Oh.
I know. It is one of those things though that like the lead up to it is so much worse than the actual doing. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, it's like making a doctor's appointment.
Yes, or like doing your taxes. Like it sucks, but it doesn't take as long as you like think it's going to, and then you feel so much better afterwards.
I'm going to take a photo of the pile so like you can have a sense of what we're talking about. I'm going to share it on our Instagram and see if anybody else lives this life too. But I'm going to send it to you because
this is fascinating.
Yeah, I want to really horrify you and introduce you to a new side of me that it sounds like you don't know.
No, I don't. Yeah. I mean, I feel like we've talked a little bit about your laundry, and sometimes you'll be like when we used to record at your house and I had to like use the bathroom that was in your bedroom, you would be like, ignore the laundry sometimes.
yep, because it's been sitting there for a month and it just piles.
I don't think we've ever like truly gotten into it about your laundry.
I kind of live like a teen in like a 90s sitcom with like, you know, in like the teen mm-hmm. bedroom where it's just piles. Like, I feel like I've never graduated from that. Mm-hmm. And I would really like to have a clean bedroom.
I have faith in you.
Okay.
I think you can do it.
All right. I'm going to report back. Let's do this. Let's do this. I'm going to buckle down. Okay.
What are you doing after we record?
Well, I'm going to do the laundry, but what I want to do is like play Animal Crossing and read my book and go to bed. But I need to do the clothes.
Do the laundry and then you can play Animal Crossing.
Okay, I'll reward myself with the Animal Crossing.
I love a reward.
Okay. Dory.
Yes, Kate.
While I'm doing that.
Yes.
Last week. You were buckling down work-wise. Sounds like you have done this.
I have been buckling down. Turns out that, like, what's the expression? The rubber hits the road? I don't know. I really needed to be under the gun, as they say, apparently. But you know what? Also, I had a really, really great conversation with my editor that I've mentioned already, and it was like very clarifying. And so I felt like very much energized and like I had a new perspective on the book that has like allowed me to do all of this work. And I feel like I have like momentum that I didn't have before.
Great. I'm so happy for you.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. I hope that it's coherent. What if I'm just like typing gibberish? What if I'm typing actual gibberish?
You know what?
I don't know. It could happen.
If you do, it's fine.
I know. All right. It's not, but okay. This week, I just want to call two friends on the phone.
Oh, okay.
Just have like a catch up on the phone. Not even a FaceTime.
No, just phone. I like that.
Old school, old timey, get on the kitchen phone, turn off call waiting, and just have a gab.
Have a gab. Sounds like what someone wearing a Land's End bathing suit would call a conversation.
I mean, I'm just trying to embrace this new phase of my life.
I had a gab with my best friend on the phone the other day, and it was great.
Yeah.
You got a gab.
You got a gab.
Do you know who you're going to call? Do you have your gabs picked out yet?
I do have one friend who I texted yesterday, and was just like, hey, like, let's catch up this week. And I think we're going to talk at some point. Like, we've been texting about when we're going to be able to connect. And I think we'll be able to chat this week. And then I haven't selected the lucky recipient of my second phone call. So stay tuned. You know, I feel like I already talked to you, so it won't be you.
That is okay. I'm
just want to I feel like I need to come clean about that.
Oh, no, we talk all the time.
We do. We talk a lot. But yeah, there's something just like nice and old school about just audio. And, you know, you and I actually don't record on Zoom. Like, we can't see each other when we're recording, mm-hmm. which I initially thought was going to be to the detriment of our podcast. But I don't think it has been, if I do say so myself.
No, I love it. It feels very natural.
It does. Maybe because we are children of the 80s.
Maybe we're used to doing this.
Yeah, it's in our blood.
Back to our roots.
Back to our roots. Well, Kate, it's been a pleasure as always.
Oh, you know what? A total delight. This always makes my mood better.
Same.
And, same, you know, same. It is a privilege and an honor to tell you that Forever 35 is hosted and produced by you, Dori Shafrir, and me, Kate Spencer, and produced and edited by Sammy Junio. And Sam Reed is our project manager. And thank you for coming along on this journey with us.
Bye.
Bye.